welcome to the 9th episode of the CrackerCast podcast. This is Mr. Cracker from MrCracker.com, and let's get straight into the news. First up, we have two of the malware trends for this week, and that first one was Johnny Depp rip malware. What happened here was there was a huge outbreak of tweets on Twitter about the death of Johnny Depp, which never actually occurred, but people were tweeting about it, and it became a trend on Twitter, which gave it more publicity, and then people were actually Googling and about keywords like, is Johnny Depp actually dead? Is Johnny Depp really dead? And malware writers took advantage of this trend and led a lot of people to links that led to malware and infected a bunch of people. The other trend was the recent announcement of the iPad, which is the Apple's pretty much giant version of the iPhone. And this was a huge topic in all news articles and websites. And huge search topic, so malware writers took advantage of that as well and sent a lot of people to malware related websites that infected a lot of people. Next, we have hackers target doctor's email to make a killing. What happened here was a doctor's email was taken over by a hacker who sent him a phishing email telling him that Gmail will needs his updated information or blah blah blah, it'll get closed down, something like that. He fell for it. His account got taken over, and this hacker or attacker sent out a mass email to all his clients and patients and friends and family asking for $3,700 because, quote, I misplaced my wallet on my way to the hotel in London. Money and other valuables are gone, including my credit cards. Instantly, his friends and family members and some patients sent him some money, and others sent him a phone call to find out about the situation. He got around 90 phone calls. And that's when he realized that what actually occurred. And he tried to get his account back. Turns out he forgot his questions for the forgot password function in Gmail. Took him a while. More people lost their money. And thus goes phishing attacks. Next up, oil companies targeted by hacking attack. So three of the major energy companies, including ExxonMobil, Marathon, and ConocoPhillips, were hit by a string of attacks that were aimed at stealing valuable information. If I had to guess, probably came from China or not. Not good having your major energy suppliers attacked. And then we have over half of global hacking attacks from China report. So Kaspersky came out with a report that said that out of 73.62 million hacking attacks recorded, 52.7% were made from China. And this report was written by a Russian computer security company, which is Kaspersky. But the ironic part of it was that the Kaspersky report also said that Russian hackers were also unsurpassed in the field of computer and internet fraud. So all you Chinese fellas out there listening, ni hao. Anyways, TechCrunch hacked and defaced. TechCrunch is one of the biggest news companies here, at least in the United States, but they were hacked three times within 24 hours. The first time, the hacker left a note, just hi, and then it got replaced by a note from TechCrunch saying that they were working on fixing the site, and then he came back and replaced it with a link to his, Wares website, or maybe just a Wares website that he visits, and then TechCrunch came back and changed it again, and then he came back and changed it for a third time. But it looks like it was a zero-day attack. They're not sure yet. They got into it, and it's back up. So this just shows that no website is really safe from hacker attacks. Next, we have report. Some 48% of 22 million scanned computers infected with malware. So out of 22.7 million computers that were scanned, almost 50% were infected with malware. This just shows that malware is still a huge profit-making, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's still making a lot of money, and it just shows that still around over 50% of internet users are still ignorant to, computer security. And then we have hack attack on Obama via house computers. So right after the State of the Union address that Obama did, some unhappy people went out there and hacked at least 49 House members, leaving a bunch of F-bombs about the president. So, another example of how no one's secure. There's always a way in. And last but not least, we have FBI arrests alleged cable modem hacker. So this 26-year-old man put up a website and who was selling hacked modems that provided free internet service. And he was what happened was he ended up selling two modems to an FBI agent, and now he got caught, and he's facing up to 20 years in jail and a $250,000 fine if convicted, all for selling a couple modems, hacked modems. Can you believe that? But I guess the FBI is really cracking down on these kind of things. But his website was massmods.com, and he put up a bunch of YouTube videos on how to get free internet access, so that won't help his case at all. Looks like he's pretty much screwed. So don't get into the hacked cable selling business. And that is it for this week. There's actually a bunch of other articles, and you can get them by going to MrCracker.com, looking on the right-hand side, and putting in your name and email address, clicking submit, and you'll have to confirm your email address, and you'll be subscribed to my email address newsletter, and you'll get every weekly news, all the weekly news, and some other goodies. So go ahead and do that, and let's get into the main topic. So for the main topic, I'll be discussing how to be anonymous on the internet. And you know that you can't be completely anonymous because your ISP knows that exactly every move you make on the internet, every website you visit, every link you click, they have it all because you're using their service. Everything you do goes through them. But what I'm talking about is how to be anonymous to specific websites, groups, general. I'll start off with a story. So a few years ago, I'd say at least five, when I was first getting into the whole underground hacking scene, I was all hungry for information, joining every website I could find. I wasn't really thinking about being anonymous, and I made lots of mistakes. I remember what happened was I joined this one website, and they were this basically raging group. They were known for raging people, which really meant was that they got their information. They'd like give them threatening phone calls. They'd send them threatening information. Just rage them and get them to the point where they'd be like crying and apologizing and asking them to leave them alone. And then what they would do is they'd have them record saying their group name and saying that they rage them, they own them, and basically that was their whole purpose. So I joined, and I was like my cocky self. I was like, basically what I did was I basically bashed all their members, all their high-ranked members, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned something about their mothers and all that good stuff. And you know what they say, you reap what you sow, and it made me ask. What happened was they were able to track down my MySpace account, and from there they got my full name, and then they were able to get my full address. Fortunately for me, at the time in that same the same town, I had another person with the same exact name as me, so they got his phone number and information. So I'd assume they called him up and probably tried to rage his parents. I don't know what happened. Probably got in a bit of a trouble, but luckily I voted the whole thing. But what they did was they posted pictures of me, they posted my information on their forum, and just pretty much gave all the information to their members so that they could go ahead and try to rage me. But what happened with that is I learned a lesson, you know, don't mess with people that you don't know what they're capable of, and make sure you cover up your information and don't give out information that you shouldn't. And that's what I'll be talking about in this section. So some of the lessons I learned was never use your real first name or last name in any website that you join, unless of course it's something personal. But in general, if you're joining some underground forum, don't use your first name or your last name. Having your first name and last name, a person can find a lot of information on you online. And then I found another lesson was don't use your birthday, because with your birthday, they could also find a lot of information on you. So, generally what I do when I join a website is I just, think of some fake name, let's say John Doe, and my birthday is always January 1st, 1980. I don't know why 1980, but I just stuck with me, so I've been using it for the whole time. But so never use your first name, last name, or real birthday. Next, do not use your main emails that you use for your social networks, for your basically your personal websites in these websites. Basically, what you do is create a separate email for your, Facebook account and your Facebook account, your MySpace account, but do not ever use the same email addresses for these other websites that, might, have controversial material, like these underground forums that I was joining. And that's basically what happened to me. I used the same email as my MySpace profile, and what they did was they simply searched for my MySpace profile via my email address. They put in my email address, and my profile popped right up, and there was my name, my full name, my picture. And then my second mistake was having my profile public. It wasn't private. You have to make sure that all of your personal information is set to private, because you don't want it to be open to the whole public. Nowadays, most of these profiles default to being open, and you have to manually set them up to be private. And what happened was my profile was completely open. He was able to go in there, grab my information, my birthday, my first name, my just in general, my likes, my dislikes, all these informations that could be applied to even things like your forgot password questions. Many people do simple questions that with simple answers that can be found in their social networking profiles. For example, not too long ago, Sarah Palin's email got hacked, and the person that hacked it, he didn't do anything technical. All he did was he went to her forgot password link, and she had a bunch of questions. So, like something about your pet's name, where were you attended school, what was your high school name, something like that. And he was able to find all that information by simply looking up her online. All the information was available freely online, and that's what I'm kind of getting at. You have to make sure that no one can access your information unless they are a friend of yours. They're someone you know, that someone you trust. So that's why I don't accept friend requests from people that I don't know. I know a lot of people find me via my book, The Hackers Underground Handbook, and they try to Facebook me, but I unfortunately have to deny it because I don't know you. I don't know what kind of person you are. I don't know. You might be some kind of creeper. Maybe not, but I can't take that risk. So I like to keep my information personal. Of course, if someone really wants to, they can find information on anyone, because the internet is a powerful tool. And so basically, use different email addresses that don't link to you. There's no way that they link to you, and use those email addresses for separate things like your face, not your for your underground websites or just other forums in general. And use other emails, personal emails for Facebook and such. So far, that's been pretty much it. Now there's certain another thing called your IP address. And when you join a website, let's say a forum, and you post things, your IP address is logged, and that person, the administrators, can view your IP addresses. So now, if you join, let's say, if you try to joining again, with a different name and trying to be pretending to be some other person, they can easily match you up with the same IP address and know that you're the same person. Sometimes websites offer your IP address publicly, which is shouldn't be allowed, but sometimes it happens, and people can search your IP address and find other websites that you've joined. So if you wish to cover up your IP address, personally, I don't do that, but there are many proxy services out there, and you can just Google proxy and find a bunch of information on that. But what a proxy is in general is basically it tunnels your information through another computer, and then the IP address shown to that website is the IP address of that server that you're tunneling your traffic to. And basically, what happens is when you go to, let's say, google.com, first it'll go to that server, and then from that server, it'll go to google.com and go to google.com. So basically, when Google traces it back, it came from that server and not your website. That's pretty much what a proxy is. But, and let's say a person, the reason why I tell you to use an email address separate from everything else is because just with your email address, you can find your usernames, and with that username, if you use the same username in many websites, and let's say you slipped and you used one of your personal emails for another website with the same username, that person would simply just Google your username and find all the websites that you've joined and find your email address on that website, and then Google that email address and find other usernames, or maybe even a name of a personal name or some Facebook. Your Facebook or your MySpace. Basically, it all connects. You have to make sure you have to do stay anonymous by making sure you don't slip up like that and use an email address of your personal pages with an email address, with a website that isn't your personal, that you use just to, you know, browse, let's say, an underground forum. But so if an attacker has, let's say, your name, maybe just your email address, or maybe just a username that you use, they could get a lot of information. There are so many tools online that do it for you automatically. There are tools that literally search every single social networking website for your name, or for your email, or for your username. They search all of the yellow pages online for your name and find your address, and basically, your information is available fully online. Also, what I came across when that incident occurred to me, and the person almost got my real address and phone number, was that there are many different types of yellow pages, websites online that feature your name and your full phone number and your address, and you might not even know it, but your information might be online, and that's what happened to me. I never gave permission, but it was all up there. Maybe I forgot to, you know, maybe I got some mail in the mail one day and for a census or something, and I didn't choose a correct box that said not to use my information. Maybe, I don't know, but my information was on there. But what I did was I went to every one of these large websites that had a huge database of people's information, addresses and stuff, and I filled out the form to remove my information, and they must remove it. And since then, all my information is pretty much gone off these yellow pages and stuff and such. So you have the option of looking up your name and removing it from all these directories of people's names and addresses and phone numbers. So that's also another step you should take, is to go to these websites and find out if your name is if your information is available online. If so, get it removed. You don't need it to be up there. So then these web services that I was talking about that simply look up all these information. They look up all the networking websites, social networking websites. They look up they Google your name, they Google your information, try to find information from that. They look up phone books, they look up in business directories, they look up, you know, from in photo albums, musics, they look at shopping, basically blog post results, news results, patents, books, images, videos. They look up in all these separate, basically branches of information, and they pull in all this information and they display it to you in an easy to view way, so you can sort through it and find the right information and determine whether this is the right information of that person. And off the top of my head, I know there's one called pq.com, there's pipl.com, pipl.com, and then there's actually a lot better legit services that you have to pay for, but they literally, I looked up my name and they found my they found my main email address, they found my town that I live in. I don't know what else they have in mind because I didn't pay for it, but this information is available online. Anyone with enough reason and just dedication can find anything on anyone. It's amazing and also kind of scary. So start by improving your anonymous self online. You know, start by getting rid of those accounts that link to your personal information, personal social networking websites. Start by making your profiles private. Get rid of these emails that link to your personal profiles. If not, make a new one and then change it. So, you know, you have to be aware of this kind of thing, because one day maybe you might get into a kind of a situation that I did, and someone might, you know, do some bad things. Also, for personal information, when you're making personal questions for forgot password functions, try to avoid questions that are freely available online that people can find, let's say, in your social networking profile. Things like, what's your favorite movie, what's your mother's maiden name, things like that. You should avoid things like that and make more obscure questions that only you would get, because most websites nowadays actually give you an option to make a custom question. So find a question that only you would know, and use that, because a lot of these things are freely available online. For example, back to the Sarah Palin incident, where the person simply just Googled her name, looked up her Wikipedia, looked up her school, things like that. All this was available online, and he was able to get into her email and publicly post all her emails, which was a very, very bad thing for her campaign when she was running for vice president. But that's it for the main topic. Hope you learned something, got something from this. If not, if you have any opinions, I'd love it if you post something on the blog. And that's pretty much it. This week's hacking website of the week is the House of Hackers website, and the URL is houseofhackers.ning.com. And it is basically a social networking website for hackers. It's got a bunch of members. You have people writing blogs, they have a forum, groups, events, media, chat with other hackers. So if you're looking to find some hacker buddies, get some connections, go ahead and join this website. Pretty much the Facebook of hacking. I don't know of any other big social networking hacking websites, but this one stood out, so I'm recommending it. And that is houseofhackers.ning.com. That is this week's hacking website of the week. If you have any recommendations, go ahead and send them to comments@mrcracker.com. So I have a book recommendation for this week. I just finished reading the book titled Hacker Cracker, and it is by Ijovi Nwir with David Chanoff. And the author is basically who the book is about, and that is Ijovi. And it talks about, actually, it's just a story about his whole life, how he went from growing up in the hood, and how he discovered hacking, and how it changed his life. Then he discovered the underground and got into some shady activities. And then eventually got into a hacking career with a security professional for one of the world's largest financial houses. And it basically just goes through his whole life. It's actually a very interesting book, so check it out. I'll leave a link in the show notes if you're interested. And once again, it's called Hacker Cracker. So that is it for this week's episode, episode 9 of the CrackerCast podcast. So if you have any questions, concerns, comments, go ahead and email me at comments@mrcracker.com. You can follow me at twitter.com/mrcracker. And that is it for this week. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.